Okay, I'm gonna derail us at the beginning, just so you know.
Okay.
Welcome to the Quack Toll Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack12Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack, quack.
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 Quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Quack.
12 in.
Oh!
Quack, 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 and quack.
I am your host, Adam Chimayo.
And Adam, I'm pretty sure you've muted your audio.
That's right. And this is the Quack 12 podcast, the most official, as you can tell by the muted audio part. Unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast in the web footosphere,
but also the most official, unofficial, unofficial, official.
It's the
what
out of all the unofficial ones? We're the well, that's what I said in the first place. Aaron, we won 3 games.
Adam,
all we had to do.
He's
was
Adam Chimayo. I'm Aaron Schroeder. We're gonna get into it.
That is right.
See, I was going to try and derail us right off the beginning of the show because there was something I wanted to talk about, but you've derailed us, so now we just should just get into it. Let's talk basketball. Well, let's forget I had a topic.
To get us even more off topic, we're both recording our local audios, too, so it's possible that the listener won't even hear me not say anything, but now I got to keep in some of my fuck-up so they know the reference point of me fucking up. So we're here. This is actually a great,
you know what's great
introduction
about that?
To the Quack 12. What's that? What's that?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Feel free to start here.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Aaron, we had to win 3 games, and we won 3 goddamn games, and they were beautiful, and I'm not going to lie, I gave up. There was a stretch, multiple stretches, where I thought we were donezo. I thought we had zero chance.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
Ditto.
Ditto.
I had one major moment of doubt. Well, okay, look. I went into this Pac-12 tournament. We talked about it last week. We expected to lose to Arizona, and so that's where I was coming in at.
Yeah.
That's where I stayed the whole time, especially when Dante went down.
Oh, that was.
And then I went, okay, that's it. This is it. That's how it is. Okay, bye bye.
You end America. Yes, that is exactly how it went.
Wow.
When Dante,
wow.
I mean, we can jump around here because, I mean, spoiler alert.
Jump up and jump down.
We got our ticket to the big dance. The big game was that Arizona game, and it was literally just after the minute mark. Our man Dante, literally the team, it's all on his back.
Brother.
Our man Dante, really no fault to Balo, too. The fellow man from Mali, you know.
No, he jumped up and went too high.
He juked Dante.
Big man went too high.
Yeah, he really pumped him, and then like Dante was already in the air. Unfortunately, clipped his like the side of his hip or a little below his hip. Tumbles over, lands, it looked like straight on his back, and
I kind of thought he landed on his like hip a bit.
Yeah, well, it was like hip,
but same difference. But
I think
whatever.
He really landed on his tailbone because I believe Dana Altman said that he did have a bruised tailbone. But to show what Dante is like willing to do for this team, because this is his last shot. I think he could have another year, I believe, of eligibility if he really, really wanted to. I think they've just kind of like shut that down, unless I'm wrong. I know he's not coming back next year. Like they keep saying, like, this is your final season.
I believe so. Yeah, it would make sense that he, I think he could handle I don't know the NBA that well, but something tells me he'd do well on the Clippers.
Well, it's like he has the talent to right now be contributing to an NBA team in some fashion. It may not work out for him in the NBA. Like, he may not get drafted because of his injury history. Is really the only reason. But that doesn't mean he's not going to get paid in the future by a professional basketball team and make good money and not, you know, be loved by that fan. It'll probably be overseas. Probably won't be the NBA, but you never know. But let's...
You know, I wonder how many players end up going into staff, team staff.
Quite a bit. I mean, yeah. Dante definitely is looking to play, looking to get paid right now. But yeah. Hold on.
I mean, obviously,
so Dante,
you
before
wanted,
we
yeah.
let's not muddy this greatest accomplishment by a basketball player by immediately capitalist being like, but when will he get more money? Because fuck the NBA. I'm talking about the greatest, the final Pac-12 most valuable player in the history of the Pac-12, which is now done. Because
that
so
is
this
interesting.
Man, 1 minute in, gets injured, lands straight freaking on his back. He goes out, immediately gets an x-ray because his first thought is, you know, I've had like two serious injuries to both legs, plus... He's never finished a full season here. This is his fifth season. He's never finished a full season here. We are the most injured team, like lost the most minutes out of all the top 75 by far. And so he immediately goes, gets an x-ray, and they check. And they're like, nothing's broken, Dante. So he immediately comes back out after that, gets on the bike, starts doing the bike. Then he goes back into the locker room. They shoot him with something for the pain. They give him just a shot in his goddamn back. He comes back out, 7 minutes left in the first half. That's like, and the thing that's been cool about this team.
Did he come back that quick?
Well, 7 minutes left in the first half. That's not that quick. He lost 12 minutes, you know. And normally,
I really thought it was longer, though. Yeah,
I mean, it felt like an eternity, my man. Because when he was gone, just our offense was done. Like,
yeah,
what
they were trying very hard. They were working hard and keeping it to 10.
Keeping it. That's exactly it, though, right? Like in all these games, Colorado a little less so, but these first two games is when Dante was off the floor. That's when the other team could really do their damage, you know. And we weren't looking good. Our offense outside of Dante has not been where we would want it. I'll just say that. Especially like 3-point shooting. We've been pretty straight up bad. But our defense, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Our defense has been really freaking good.
And I gotta say, it looked astounding in the Arizona game.
Yeah. And we're lit, and like
it
you
looked
said,
trashy in the first game, first half. We haven't even talked about that game at all. We went straight to Dante injury because
of
me.
Let's start from the beginning here. Let's start that UCLA game. The big story of this one was that, you know, Battle of the Big Men. This is the fun thing, is like with a fully healthy Dante, knock, 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 it really comes down to like, okay. This dude is goddamn 6'11", and athletic as the most athletic dude on the court, like basically. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do to stop
Well, dude, him? He's doing double duty.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
His job has become, I'm going to go to the three-point line and I'm going to become a tree. And then as soon as I make a good block with my body as a tree, I'm going to immediately run underneath the goal to try and either grab the rebound or finish this thing off.
Yeah.
Or assist them as they slowly walk it in because I will remain a tree.
Oh, exactly.
It's like they just got him, bing, bing.
Yeah.
It's like, crazy.
You know
it's
what's
crazy
gonna
watching
happen.
Him work out there.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen, but it's like, okay, but how are you going to stop that?
Yeah. How are you going to stop it?
And so... And so the other team, you're just going to look at their big man and then just kind of judge what's going to happen. With this, Adembona, who's very good, he only played like 17 minutes, only scored 8 points, because really quickly he was picking up fouls. And that's the amazing thing is like...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's
right. It happened so fast.
Mm-hmm. He picked up like two real quick.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. And then a third really quick in the second half. And
yep.
Compare that. That's the other game within the game, I think, from now on. Hopefully we have more than this next game coming up. But is the foul game, you know, with
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate the foul game when there's under a minute left on the clock to play the game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my fuck. Okay. Maybe let's just change. If we're just going to play this game to where we end up going to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Let's just finish the game with every player gets to take a couple of free throws, and whoever makes the most is actually the winner of the game.
Yeah, like a Quidditch situation.
I hate it.
I get it. I get it.
So frustrating. Anyway, but go ahead. The foul game.
Well, and the other part of it is, you know, a player fouling out can be so frustrating.
Right.
Like for us, the danger is, well, if Dante fouls out, that's horrifying.
They do like to look at him a lot.
But the other thing is, if everything's going well and Dante doesn't have too many fouls to the point where he can play his complete offensive game, a lot of ways that they're going to try to stop Dante from scoring, probably fail, but try to stop him from scoring, is foul him. So it's a good way to get other teams in foul trouble, especially their bigs. I think that's what happened with Adembona. And then once your big is out, Dante can really just, like, goddamn feast.
That's crazy.
Which is basically what happened.
And that, you know, I guess there's a level of the quote-unquote foul game that has, like, mechanics of chess where you want to, like, strategically utilize them or try and strategically make them utilize theirs.
Exactly, yeah.
But still, I think we need to rearrange the foul system. Because there's also times where I don't get why if I'm like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
both hands
you
in
come
the air.
In, yeah. Hit.
Oh.
And then, yeah, I'm like this. You come in and hit me.
Yep.
To make the 2 points. I fall backwards. That's a foul on me. My bad.
No, I agree.
I shouldn't have been planted like this.
I forget exactly what game this is. Probably Arizona. But it was such, maybe it was Colorado, actually, I'm thinking about it. It is like, dude, Dante went straight up and down. Like, what do you want him to do? Is everyone, and like Dana Altman's been saying this nonstop, is how much abuse, like, Dante has to take. Because they're like, because any little guy, any dude who's like 6'3", can basically do whatever they want to against Dante. And they're probably not going to call it because they're like, oh, well, that didn't hurt that much. You know, like, it's Dante. Well, and it's like there's a lot of that.
I don't get it. I don't get the rules. I don't get the fouls for the most part. I only understand when you get to shoot and when you don't get to shoot. Otherwise, I don't know why they ever call them.
Oh, there you go.
They're pointless. Let them play. Let Dante slap a man.
He's definitely slapping some balls, baby. Dante, so this is his worst game. He played 33 minutes, scored 22 points.
UCLA.
6 rebounds. Yeah, this was his worst game, and it was a great game. Like, don't give me
wrong.
But
yeah, he also had a really great rejection stuff from behind. Like, they were running up to go for the layup. It was like a race down the court, and he comes up from behind slaps the living shit out of that ball.
And, dude, that gets in your head.
It almost took out a cheerleader, I feel like. Yeah, and you're like, geez, big guy.
Oh, I know, dude. It really does start to get into players' heads, and you can see it.
Yeah.
The more, like, these guards are going for the hoop, and it's like, oh, here's another easy layup. Just even when he's not there, him just living in your head, being like, is Dante about to slap the shit out of this ball? It's so fun. And then you got to give, like, credit to, like, any player off the bench that gives us any production. Because obviously, like, we're going to live and die with Shelstad, Cousnard, Dante. Those are our 3 main scorers. Me personally, I would love for Jadrian Tracy. He's a key player, obviously starter. I want him to either pass it, even if he's taking it to the hoop, I then want him to look out and pass it out, or to be the guy that they do pass it out for, like, on the wing, you know, a deep three, like an open three. That's what his role is, I would prefer anyways. Though he does make clutch plays, so what do I know?
He sticks out of the pack. At least in these games, he definitely stuck out to me where I was like, oh shit, he's got, there's a magic there, but it doesn't feel completely tapped yet. And I don't know what it is, but it's like, okay, this dude does have it. It is there. What is it?
No, I agree.
It's foggy.
It's definitely the kind of feeling of like, if he was coming off the bench, this would be one of your favorite players on the team because you'd be like, oh, it's the guy off the bench that every once in a while hits a three. Or,
oh, my God.
You know, but
you nailed it.
But
that's exactly it.
He's a starter, and so you're looking at him a little more closely. He wouldn't be a starter
right.
if we had our full healthy roster. But, yeah, so we win
this
Biddle
game. Was out, though. He made it out.
He was there. It was really nice to see. You know.
Yeah, he hung out with the team.
Yeah.
Looking a little pale, but I'm glad to see that he's able to rally up the energy.
To be fair, he's from Central Point. That's just look, my man.
Is it bleak? Are they, is that like
it's Southern Oregon, maybe, yeah. so we beat UCLA, and that honestly, so leaving this game, I was like, okay, it's cool that we didn't lose the first game. This was like so many of our other games where it's like super close, maybe closer than it needed to be. We almost blew it. Like, it felt like, good job. We didn't embarrass ourselves. But the next game, we are fucked. That's honestly how I felt going into it.
Yes. Yes.
That was it.
Yeah. You nailed it.
I mean, we lost to them twice earlier in the season. We lost to them by, like, 30 points.
One of them was bad.
Oh.
One of them was a bad.
One of them
it
was
so bad.
The anomaly loss where all the other losses at most were losing by like 10 or 12, and it was probably close, but then it got away from us. Or we lose by like, you know, 6 points or something. Like all the losses were pretty close except for that one where they just kicked our freaking teeth in.
Yeah.
But
yes.
And so that felt also
that one lasts.
Yeah, that one you remember. like your first kiss, you know. But
yep.
Also, this is like they have a saying for, you know, Pac-12 Vegas, like in this tournament, like this is McHale Center North. Like this is or McHale North, I believe they call. As in Arizona fans, because of the proximity and because they're rabid, you know, basketball fans.
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
I kept thinking why there was... I was like, damn, Arizona showed up.
Well, because they were
right next door.
Yeah, right next door, but also on paper. They're like, this is our best team we've had in a while. If we win the tournament, we'll be a number one seed.
Damn.
We're probably going to win.
I'm so sorry, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Like, we ruined
to all the fans
day.
Out there, I am so sorry. We didn't think we should have won it. I don't know why we won it.
I'll tell you why.
Arizona,
we won.
Maybe we should be looking at your boy Love.
Oh, well.
He didn't show up very much.
And that's
I'm
because,
like,
dude, like.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess.
Well, not the Arizona fans, because after this game, they got the fuck out of Vegas. I'll tell you that. They were like Nick Cage leaving
anyway.
Las Vegas, even though I think that movie's about someone who doesn't leave Las Vegas. So in this game, like. Obviously, shooting-wise, the Arizona... I mean, we had the big Dante scare. And the reason why we won this game is just because we were able to, like, keep composure while our... the team, which is Dante, was, you know, making sure he was healthy enough. We didn't let the lead... Like, it was like a 12-point, a 10-point, like, us trailing by, like, a deficit by, like, 12, 10. Not 20. Not 25. And that was the big difference. We were able to rally back because of that. And that's because, like, Jackson Shellstad was playing, like, mean defense. You know, like, they were shutting players down like Love. Kuznard was also, like, Kuznard got 20 points in this game. Shellstad got 21. Dante got 14, which is crazy. You would think he got, like, even more than that. He only played 27 minutes. 5 of 7 shooting from the floor, though, We shot 7 3-pointers. That first half, we were playing ugly. Like, that first half, we couldn't hit anything. And then started to hit the threes. Yeah, I mean, right? Like, it felt like...
It was gross.
It was one of the only games... I mean, the only other game was the Arizona game before this, where I really wanted to turn it off at the half. Because I was like, there's just... We can't win without Dante. And it's too sad to watch. I didn't, but
yeah. Yeah, I felt... I don't know. I mean, I didn't expect to win the whole time, so I was fine watching it. It's like, I just want to watch them lose respectfully.
Yeah, that's all. I was there, yeah.
I just don't want it to be a burnout. I don't want to see these kids deflated like that.
Cousinart has a quote about when, after, you know, Dante was out and stuff, we had to keep believing. We know it's going to come down to a close game. And it absolutely
always
did. I love that the other thing is Altman, more than a lot of his past teams, has completely, like, he gives, like, his team calls the timeouts when they want to. He's not,
they do.
He's not orchestrating absolutely everything. Like, I think it's become clear. He's like, I want the seniors, specifically Cousinart and Dante, to lead this team, do their thing. Like, we have the system in place. I'm not going to stand in the way. It's all them. And I think it's clearly worked out really freaking well.
I mean, yeah, especially, I mean, God, the Arizona game really did just have so much, didn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, there were so many different times where
we almost really
like,
pulled
shit,
away.
I didn't even realize that's how he was letting them play the game until the Arizona game. And I'm like, damn, they just get to call timeouts like it's nothing. Like, they're just using them up for him.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, I get it. They're being double-teamed, and they're stuck in a corner. You want to call timeout on that so you can fucking reassess.
And, like we should say, this was not just, like, I mean, this was a close game. But at one point, Oregon looked like they were going to freaking run away with this because we had a 61-48 lead. And that, I was just, my mind was being blown. But they started chipping away.
Yeah, I want to give big props. I actually really loved the announcers, the duo.
Yeah, I forget their name.
And they
yeah.
even brought this
Maybe
up
Ted Rubin.
Where they were like, I forget, it was like, maybe like 4 minutes left in the game, if not a little bit more. But they made a note of like, Oregon has already switched into protect the ball mode because we were up by like 11. And he's like, I don't know if that's the best idea right now. You kind of want to just keep playing like you've been playing because you don't want a team like Arizona to be able to chip, because they will.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it was really fun. All aspects of that game were really fun.
I thought so, except for when Dante got injured. but yeah, it
just adds to the story.
It did add to the.
For
it
his
really
great,
did
his
man.
Great return.
It made it. It was so shocking that when he came back in, and again, it's that like Altman freaking ball, dude. That because we held them to their lowest point score of the entire season, 59 points. We held them to under 60 points. I was thinking about you. You know, I was thinking about you when we got to 67 points. I was hoping we were getting to 69.
You know, what I did think was really kind of interesting and possibly problematic is that I did not expect any of these games. I didn't get to watch the national championship, so I don't actually know off the top
Pac-12,
of my head what the final score
Pac-12
was.
Pac-12 championship.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know what the final score was on that. But I was just stunned at how low scoring both of the first two games were, where I'm like, it's kind of boring that this is how... But it's like, it's not like the action is any less. It's just they're not going in. They're going bonk. And then there was one shot, I forget who it was that took it, but it was just like such a massive air ball in a stretch of terrible minutes.
We have
for
those
us.
Sometimes.
And the announcer literally is just like, "Oh, and with a terrible shot."
I remember
just like
I remember there's been a couple of times, and I think this is gonna be our style for a while, especially since we only have 8 players. Like, we have such a small playable team right now. That we're really going to play a style of basketball where it's like, we're going to get the rebound, you know, the defensive rebound, hopefully force you to miss your shot because we're playing solid defense. And then, because, like, we were in trouble in some of these games when we would try to score quickly and, like, force a bad shot with, like, 15 seconds left on the shot clock, you know? And I think it's clear, especially in the Colorado game, that Dana Altman was telling them, like, take your time. Like, literally, let the clock just run a bit more. Set up your shot. Probably pass it to Dante. Like, in question, probably pass it to the dude that's near 7 foot, standing next to the hoop.
Yeah.
That's going to be a sure thing. And then, like, you know, score the easy two, take your time, let the clock wind down, and then set them, and then be like, okay, try to match us, and then just let the cycle repeat. And that is literally it. First to 69, baby. First to 69. Altman ball.
The thing that I really loved seeing, it felt like there was a lot more of it happening. Or maybe my eye is just drawn to it more now because of Altman saying that he was, you know, probably practicing them too soft.
Yeah.
There was a lot more aggressive behavior underneath the goal, and it felt like we were doing a good job of getting a lot of offensive rebounds, like Cousinard getting underneath the bucket, going up, missing. Getting it right back, trying one more time, not getting it right back. Like, it was a lot of, you know, it felt like they're like, okay, we can do some get-in-the-face shit now, maybe.
Yeah, well, and
let's... Because they kind of gotta.
Oh, and I think the Colorado game. And Colorado upset Wazoo, you know, or not upset, but, yeah, I mean, it was a very close game.
Took him to task.
Took him to task. Perfect. And this game was a close one. It was a battle. And you wouldn't, if I told you in the championship game that we went 2 of 17 from 3, you probably would have assumed we lost this game.
That's right. You would. You absolutely would.
This game is very fun to look at because I can list.
Take me through it.
Oh, yeah. I can list a bunch of stats that you would assume, Colorado won the game. But it also tells the story of why we won. Because...
Wow, okay.
Well, I mean, first of all, the biggest stat, who got to 69 first? Oregon did. We won 75-2. If we keep them below 69, we win, right? 75-68. It's an amazing formula, dude. I can't believe...
It really is.
How often this is. It's like, if they score more than 69, we're going to lose. Yeah. Like, I think there's only been one game where that isn't true. Like, it's amazing. But, here are the stats, though, that really matter here. So, field goal percentage, it was pretty close. We actually had the advantage there. We got 45%. They had 41%. From 3-point range, they were 7 of 22. We were 2 of 17. From free throw... They were much better. They were 21 of 23. We were 17 of 24. Still kind of a weak part for us. Rebounds, they out-rebounded us 34 to 31. So you would assume just with that, like, they were shooting better, you know, and they out-rebounded us technically. What it really came down to, though, is we were way more efficient. They had 13 turnovers. We forced the 13 turnovers. And it really felt like that in this game. Because, again, there were stretches where, because we weren't hitting the three, we were forcing shots really quickly instead of passing it to Dante, which every Duck fan was just the whole game being like, why aren't we passing it to Dante? Why aren't we passing it to Dante? Like, literally, he hasn't missed a shot.
But you give it to him too much, they're going to start focusing the double coverage on him, and
well,
then he
the
will be missing more shots.
Is like later in this game, they were doubling him. Absolutely, they were doubling him. And what would he do? He'd fucking dunk it over two dudes. Like,
sometimes that's also good.
Sometimes if it's like a guy like you and I trying to stop Dante, there's just absolutely nothing that's going to happen. There's just nothing that you can possibly do. And Dante, like I'm telling you, was literally perfect. He was 12 of 12 from the floor, had 9 rebounds, had an awesome dunk. This was like some of the best kind of low-key shit talking too in this game, where he does a game-breaking dunk near the end of the game, just a boosh, and then does a really funny thing where he walks away from the hoop with an expression as if he just blew up a friend's bathroom, and then walks out of their bathroom and just looks like, oh, who took that nasty shit? Like, it was the funniest stanky face I've ever, just like, ugh. That's who did that? That's really bad. It was the funniest shit. And then also later in the game, like it's still a game, but like basically Oregon's got it in hand. He has fully got his ear to the crowd, playing like professional wrestler, just rallying the Duck crowd. Just clearly.
Is there, which by the way, when they showed the section, the little small Oregon Duck section in a sea of
anyone.
Arizona fans.
Yeah.
It was like, God damn, bless you, mother. You all. Is there any kind of regulations about that? Because like when he would do his little dance after he made one.
They let you get away.
Is there taunting stuff like in football?
It's they'll let you get away with a lot as long as it's not geared specifically towards someone.
Okay. Don't like, do it at the
like
person.
A shimmy or a dance, they'll typically if you stand over somebody, they're gonna call.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're gonna call that. And then there's also a couple more great Dante moments very late where it was like, because you know, even late on when it was in desperation mode, it was still like a 6-point game. Like it's still very plausible. Like under a minute, but like a 6-point game. Colorado had the ball. They were starting to heat up too, from three specifically, and like KJ Simpson and Da Silva, they were, you know, it was possible, but Simpson like early on goes for a pass like near like, or I think was going for a three even. Dante swats that shit like goddamn crazy, just a huge like you didn't think Dante could do any more in this game, and then he blocks the last chance they had. It goes near half court. He then beats his man to the ball, and because he has just limbs the size of Godzilla, he also keeps the ball in play. And it was just like, you couldn't ask more from a dude. And then in the final seconds of this game, it was just to show he's not an asshole, actually. Like, he likes taunting, not taunting, but he likes getting the crowd into it. He likes doing a little shimmy dance after he does a big play.
Yeah.
But he isn't an asshole, because the last, like, 6 seconds of this game, he has the ball in his hand. He is under the hoop. He could have done a celebratory dunk in the last second, which is kind of an asshole move. Like, no one would have been that pissed, but technically,
they weren't ahead by that much, and they're the mega underdogs in the whole situation.
Yeah, like, and it's Dante. And, like, so, like, no one would have blamed him, but instead, he decided...
He's charismatic.
He's charismatic. He decided to dribble it out the last second, and then after the official bell goes off, then he does a celebratory dunk. Like, it just showed you what kind of man Dante is. It was an amazing
game. He's just
game.
Out there having a good time.
Hell yeah. And like, even though our 3-point shooters had a terrible fucking game this game, like truly abysmal.
Well,
even though that happened,
season.
They found, well, not season, because there was times,
well,
there were times when we didn't have Dante, where we were just a small team, where we were just shooting the three ball like crazy. That's why I'm excited.
God, doesn't that feel like a lifetime ago already?
Absolutely. That's why I'm excited, though, Aaron, is because, like, in this game against a quality team, a team that is a tournament team, because Colorado made it as well, we shot 2 of 17 from 3 and still won. And we didn't shoot well the other two games and still won because Cousnard and Shellstad are finding other ways, whether it's defensively or just playing, you know, like taking it to the hoop, to make differences, to win.
Kudos to Cousnard.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching him play the games so much. He really stepped up and, he did. I mean, everybody is really just stepping up in a big way, which scares me because it makes me want to be hopeful. But at the same time, I have to remember what they actually do most of the time. Well,
dude, I mean, and now let's get into it. So we were in the dance. We punched our ticket.
I can't believe it. Every statistical odd that had to happen to get us in actually happened.
And what's even better,
there was never a point where we've somehow switched back out of the worst timeline to maybe a better timeline.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, the worst timeline would be if we would have had to cover women's basketball NIT. I'm going to pepper in. This is the only bit of Oregon women's basketball I'm peppering in. It's barely. Well,
sure.
There's two things. First of all, Sabrina Ionescu got
hitched.
Got hitched. You saw it. That's right. To a former Oregon football player, which is very
cool. Right. And his name is very similar to hers, to where I was like, it's going to be Sabrina Ionescu. It's like Sabrina.
I mean,
I would take
her
Wyabescu.
Hirona's Grassu. I believe.
Yeah, it's because they both end with Sue. It's like, what?
Oh, that's true. And the Oregon Duck was there, which is very cool.
The Sues.
And Marcus Mariota was there as well. Saw some pictures. So that was very cool. That's the happy news of Oregon women's basketball.
Okay, good for them.
And this is also happy news, in my opinion, is that apparently, because these other tournaments that aren't March Madness are like, who gives a shit? The WNIT, because I believe there are 7 Pac-12 women's basketball teams in the tournament, which is bonkers, amazing. Oregon obviously is not. And they offered Arizona State, who's 11th in the Pac-12, to be in the WNIT, even though they've had a bad year. They declined, reportedly. So then they're like, all right, Oregon, do you want to go? And literally, Oregon was like, no, we're good. And I love that because that means we don't have to watch any more of that team play this year.
They need to go.
They don't deserve it. And
they need to take a shower, take a spa day.
They need to wash that season off. I agree.
Yeah, they need to wash it off, get the head back in. I struggle to see other schools. I don't know. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised at how many of our players stay.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Maybe.
I'm hoping.
Oh, but
there's hope.
Speaking of celebrity status shit.
What's that?
Did you catch a peek of Phil Knight?
Oh, yeah.
Is that his wife and his son?
I think it's his wife and his son, and I think that his son is the guy who produced Coraline. So there you go.
So all I can tell you is that I don't know what's up with that family, but they're the most Oregon-looking family ever.
That's so true.
And
that's so true.
His wife was so rock and roll that I was like, fuck yeah. These are the people I party with right here. These people get crazy.
Yeah, no, that's just... Yeah, that's Penny. That's right. I forgot her name.
Oh, she's so badass, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That jacket she had on, I was like, damn.
I honestly hope just for that entertain, like for the Colorado and Arizona performance, I hope Phil Knight was literally like, hey, Dante, here's $1 million. Add another story to your mom's house, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was able to buy his mom.
Yeah, no, he's a legit great guy. Like, he's just a great human being. And he's funny as fuck. I love him.
It's interesting the kind of morality you are raised with when you're not born in America. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know. You're not very patriotic, Aaron, that's all I'll say. Now, so it's amazing. I can't believe we made it. Altman, too. I have never seen Dana Altman so just, first of all, I mean, because we were watching those clips of him entering this tournament. I'm used to him being like, we need to be harder. Like, we need to practice harder, calling out people. You know, like, he's usually a hard ass. Like, that is 100%. He loves his team.
Yeah. From halftime Colorado to the ending of Arizona, everything that I saw, the man totally, you could see the metamorphosis of joy.
Yeah.
But he was literally like, that Colorado halftime, he was like, defense was trash. It was just abysmal. We looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just funny too, because I've never heard him talk too at length. And so it finally made me realize, now I see when you do an impression of him.
Yeah.
Now I hear where you're going with it. It makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Well, and he was like, he was cracking me up, man. Like, because him and Dante, obviously, like Dante said, like he, like the years he could have transferred, because I'm sure other teams wanted to have him, even with his injury stuff, probably offered him some pretty good deals too. He said he wanted to stay at Oregon because he appreciates loyalty, you know, and we were loyal to him when he was injured, so he wanted to stick around. Him and Altman clearly very close, and, like, even I was watching this interview where, like, it was him and Dante, and, like, there's the three talking heads for the Pac-12 Network, and Altman was, like, again, I've never seen this side of Altman. Just smiling, having a great time. And he was just like, I was watching last night. All three of you chose against us. And one of the commentators was like, oh, well, not me. And he's like, no. I watched last night. All three of you chose. And he's like, did you hear that, Dante? They chose against us. And Dante's just like shaking his head. Like, it was a blast. I loved all the congratulatory stuff. But hey, man.
I mean, yeah. Dude. They could go out in the first round, and I don't give a shit.
Exactly
because
where I'm at.
Who closed out the Pac-12 champions?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I football's my favorite sport, but my favorite sporting event in this world is March Madness. And all I said this year was, I just want to be in the tournament. That's all I care about.
Right.
And we got. Dude, we almost were sitting here covering two NITs. I know,
yes.
I said I wasn't, but I was gonna cover them. I was gonna
suggest that we should.
Yeah, it was gonna be terrible. I was gonna hate every minute of it, but I was gonna.
Oh, yeah, I do think I'll talk to you off air, but I have another show idea.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Here it is. I'll just tell the audience, and then on Twitter, you can tell us if you want to hear this show or not.
Okay.
This episode. But the idea is, I want to do an episode where we just go through the Pac-12's biggest moments. Just a big roundup of, here's some fun, crazy things that happened inside the Pac-12.
Certainly a great offseason
through the
idea.
Years.
Great offseason.
Yeah, exactly.
Idea.
Exactly.
Hopefully that offseason doesn't come for a while, because we in the big dance. Aaron, have we ever covered the team when the men's, well, no, when the men's team have made the big dance? Have we ever been a podcast when that's happened?
We got close
with Pritchard, because this is where I'm thinking. I believe
we were supposed to go for sure. COVID shut it down.
Yeah. We started this podcast like at
I thought we went before that.
Yeah. Huh. I think we just
always
missed.
Do a bracket, and I always choose us to win the whole thing.
Oh,
so
we definitely
that
have.
Means what am so I we've thinking? Been in it.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
Yeah, I was about
we
to
had
say,
that
we've
really
been in
fun Chris Duarte team that made that year where all the Pac-12 teams were just, of course. What am I thinking?
Yeah, that name I do not remember.
Yeah, of course. I think this team is really fun because it's like, you got like, the storylines do write themselves where it's like, Peyton, Jackson Schellstad is the Peyton Pritchard prototype. Like, you got someone who wants to be Peyton Pritchard.
I hate that connotation, but sure.
You know what I mean? Well, he looks him up. He looks up to him. He actually knew the guy.
Well,
you
sure.
Know? Jermaine Cousinard, who was our real strong guard, like, leader, clearly. And then you got the heart.
Clearly.
Heart and soul of the team in Folly Dante. You got a team that you can really like paint storylines on, and we got
and
like
you
the
do
way
have
we're gonna
your,
win.
Like,
what's that?
I do feel. What's his? What was his name again? Is it Kelly?
Jadrian Tracy? Is that what you're talking about?
Tracy, thank you.
Yeah,
he's more of like a Tasmanian devil type, isn't he? He's maybe a little chaotic out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, you know
he's
who's
beautiful.
True? You know who's true?
He's
chaos.
Our wild card.
No.
Yeah,
Brennan Rigsby. Is
Brother.
The truth. We're hoping Jadrian Tracy is the glue that keeps us together. Brendan Rigsby, like literally, there's games where he looks
maniac.
Unstoppable, and then there's games where he's just like, this motherfucker can't hit a jumper. Or like, does
you know,
one
but that's
good thing.
Fine because, it's fine because he's a Charlie Day. He's an absolute wild card. He's out there to cause mayhem.
You need a wild card. And he is absolutely the white wild card, man. I'm telling you. But he could be the reason. Like this is a team.
I mean, he could take it home.
I'm not joking. He really could. Like, if Schellstad, Cousinard, Dante, I'm knocking on wood like crazy, all stay healthy and all play like they... you know, like their typical level is, then that, and if we can get someone that isn't those three to really step up and not even play like completely like, who is this? We haven't seen this player before, like play like this level, but just play a little above average. This team could be a team that surprised a lot of people. And again, like Voss, we got to get Voss on because we should have.
Oh, we have to.
Yeah, we got to talk basketball with Voss. But this is the kind of team. This is the thing where it's like it doesn't measure who the best team is. It measures who the last team is. And all I know is
whoever beats us, it does.
It's true, man. It's random every week. It's just who survives. And guess what we have that no other team has in this tournament?
Multiple days off.
Multiple days off would be nice, yeah. But motherfucking Dante, man. It's literally the real X factor here. Is what
well,
are you going to do
I'm,
to stop Dante?
Well, this is what I'm curious to find out is what do these other teams have that are also here because... when you're talking about elite level, he's maybe knocking on that door. Would you say he's elite level?
Oh, especially if we're talking, like, again, let's take the NBA out of our mind. He is NBA caliber right now, absolutely.
Okay.
He is elite level. He is,
my fear, my fear is what I presume is that every team we're going to be meeting through this situation is going to have two of those.
Aaron, you would
and I'm
be,
like,
you would be wrong. This is the thing. Is,
what?
I mean, yeah.
This is a bad year for the NBA, huh?
No,
Nobody drafting.
Well, NBA, everyone, yes, has a 7-footer and where everyone's good. But in college basketball, there are many different types and there are many different, like someone of Dante's caliber is a rare thing for to be that athletic and to be that tall
and that big.
And
yes,
yeah, like
as shown off by the UCLA player who was like
a Dembola,
wicked
yeah.
tall but very gangly, and it's like, oh wow, the marked difference in the way Dante is able to move versus how this dude is able to move.
Oh yeah,
Very drastic.
And he's a veteran. It really does come into play because he knows how to pick, how to avoid the fouls, how to get other people to avoid the fouls. His he isn't the kind of player that's just like, give him the ball, immediately he goes to hoop. A lot of times he'll wait a second, pick up a foul. Like, he's been around. Like, this is why I'm so excited. And, like, take, for example, the first team we're about to play, okay? South Carolina. Okay. Here we go.
Don't know shits about them.
South Carolina Gamecocks. Now, we have never played this team in football or basketball. Men's basketball.
Makes sense, because I've never heard of, I saw the name and I was like, never heard of this school.
They're from the SEC. They did pretty well in the SEC this year, though they did lose their tournament pretty quickly. Alabama had their number twice this season, or multiple times this season, I believe, at least. Beat them like by 30 points twice this year. And we actually played Alabama this year. Really early on, it was right when Biddle got injured too. So we were down our big men, and we were all of a sudden forced to play with only small ball. It was that part of the year.
Right.
What a crazy season we've had. And we only lost by like 8 points. I remember it was a point where I was like, well, we lost both games this weekend, but it's kind of promising that these were competitive games considering both our big men.
What is going on?
Like, we didn't have Dante, and we almost beat Bama. Meanwhile, Bama almost beat this team by 30 points. Very recent. That doesn't, transitive wins and transitive scores don't mean that much at all, but.
But they could.
It could. It honestly sometimes does. This team.
And probably actually does. So let's just say it's fact. Transitive property in this situation is fact.
We're going to beat them by about 23 points. No.
Yeah,
we
should have presumed.
So they are led by guards, mainly, I should say. Michi Johnson, who's scoring 14.1 points per game. BJ Mack, 13 points per game. Talon Cooper, Talon Cooper, probably. I don't know. We'll figure it out. 9.8 points per game.
What is their three-point threat?
All three of those guys. Like, that's mainly, I believe, Johnson and Mack.
Okay.
So this is a team that wants to hit the three. You know, they are playing smaller ball, certainly. Though they are, like, beefy, smaller guys. Like, you can't just push them around. These aren't all Steph Curry's.
Well, I mean, the Gamecocks, baby. Gamecocks. They may be small, but they're tough.
Exactly. That's what they're going for. They're not scoring they're not a team looking, they're not like an Arizona that's looking to get triple digits. They are scoring more around 80, 75, which, you know, our game, all we care about is, can we keep them to under 69? That's all we give a shit about. And it looks like we can, cause that's about where they're scoring a lot of the time. They have for a lot of these games, I'm looking at your roster. I'm looking do you have anyone who is 7 feet tall? That's literally all I care about. I look up the one guy. They've got one guy. I believe his name is Josh Gray or Gray. He's about 7 foot tall. And I'm like, okay, let's look up how many minutes he's getting. He's barely getting any minutes. He's barely scoring at all. Dante's going to absolutely that is all I care about, is like, if Dante's healthy, what are you going to do against him? Because that's our team. That's all we're going to do. Like, we may literally just pass it to Dante every single time. And then eventually we'll have open threes, and we are a better three-point shooting team than people think going into this. Because, like, Shelstad and Cousinard, they've had off nights, but they've also had amazing nights. And the thing that I love about this team is, even when we're shooting the three bad, we still attempt the shot. You know what I mean? Like, because if you get afraid of it and you abandon that part of the game, then people can really focus on Dante.
Exactly.
If we're hitting the three and Dante is fully playing his minutes, we may be a really thin team, but like, we're not lacking talent. We're like truly.
I think if we can get Rigsby alone in the corner,
exactly,
that kid could drain threes for us.
That's
all
the
night
goal. Like if Tracy and or Rigsby started to like, oh yeah, their 3-point game's really stepping up. Then,
and if one of them lights up, it's just going to make everybody else on the court, because they're going to be like, oh shit.
You know,
when Rigsby was like flying through the air to dunk, it was lighting that team on fire.
Or just like scratching away balls to get steal. Like an insane man.
Yeah.
It was so bonkers.
Yes.
I love Rigsby. Like there's been times where it's just like Rigsby's making the absolute highlight of the game. And then there's more times where he's making the low light of the game, unfortunately. But like,
that's what you got to do, man.
Yeah,
look, every opportunity is an opportunity. You have to take them, and that's what he does.
So like, I think we match up well. Like, we could absolutely lose to South Carolina. We could be embarrassed by South Carolina. Like, all of our wins are always close, so that doesn't really bode well for us just pushing over anyone, but especially a team that made the tournament. But this is the kind of team where it's like, if they're going to beat us, it's because they're shooting very well from three, and it's opening things up for them. Our defense travels. And, like, defensively, we've always been a good defensive team this season. And I think that's what's going to keep us a competitive game. And then if Dante goes off and we can hit the three, I think we're getting into the next round. And what, you know, knock on wood. But then what happens there, which was interesting, it's either Drake, not the rapper. Drake, which I can't even tell you anything about Drake. Who knows? But
sure.
After Drake, they probably don't have anyone that can answer Dante, I can tell you that. But after Drake, what makes this interesting is Dana Altman's former team, which he really had a whole other great career there before he came to Oregon. Like, he's basically like a lifelong kind of coach guy. Creighton, we would likely face off against Creighton, his old team.
I never even heard of them.
They are a team that, like, they're like a regular little darling in the tournament. Like, they regularly make it. They've made the Elite Eight a couple of times. Such. I'm probably selling them short. But, like, so they are a quality team that, like, is technically from a smaller school, you know. But
sure.
But should be a good, like, battle. Yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah. They can dance.
Let's see.
That's all that matters.
And we're in the same side of the bracket as Gonzaga.
Which means we wouldn't have to worry about them?
Because easy win. No. No. We would. We'd have to worry about them sooner.
I don't want to have to play against them. I thought they were great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're less great this season, I'll tell you that. Like, I'd like our chances against Gonzaga. We'll have to have our lawyer on.
I was about to bring him up to see his feelings were.
He said, I'll be on the podcast anywhere, anytime, as long as it's not Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. He is a lawyer, so makes sense. Aaron, the other team.
But I mean, is he?
He's our lawyer.
You know,
so no.
I don't want to call anything out, but I'd like to see his LSAT scores. I'd like to see his LSAT.
You want
I'd
some
like
credentials. I get it.
Yeah.
Aaron, so the Ducks are in tournament. Colorado made the tournament, though they're in a play-in game.
Really?
They're one of those four teams that have to play a game to
get
The first four, yeah. They have to beat Boise State. So, Oregon's in.
How embarrassing.
Yep. Yeah, they shouldn't have lost to us. Oregon's in.
I know.
Colorado's in. Arizona is obviously in. They're a 2-seed. They would have been a 1-seed if they weren't embarrassed by the Ducks. And then, last but not least, Wazoo is in. So that is four Pac-12 teams in. I'm rooting for them. You better fill out your bracket.
I will.
Right.
Got to get it in by Thursday. Yeah. I, for whatever reason, just assumed because we won the Pac-12 tournament, we were the only team getting to go. I literally, in my brain, was thinking, it's just the champions of all the different tournaments that go to the March Madness. That's
Aaron,
why we win.
I think you'll agree with me here, though. It's one of the reasons why we won this, and you can see it on the court if you rewatch these games, is like Wazoo, Colorado, like, you know, both those teams got really far. And, you know, mm-hmm. Colorado made it to the Pac-12 tourney championship game. And Arizona was the favorite. But
right.
those three teams, basically, as long as they didn't completely embarrass themselves, but even if they did, like, Arizona could have lost the first game. And still, all of
still
them
gone.
Would have made it because their regular season was good enough. Like, Colorado Wazoo, they needed to win at least one game probably, but they both did. And everyone was saying they're likely in. Everyone knew Oregon had to win all three games. There was no, even
right.
if they
there
won
was no
two,
other...
they probably wouldn't have made it. Like, even just right. making the championship game, we would have been holding our breath to see if they let us in, and they probably wouldn't have. Oregon played like a team that was like, this is it. Like, if Dante, yeah. like Dante's career will end tonight as an Oregon Duck, and let's admit it, it would be disappointment for his whole career. Like everything was relying on winning the game that night, each and every night. And you could tell yeah. the Ducks played with that mentality, and it absolutely helped them out. And they got to bottle that up for the tournament. Like, it's kind of interesting where it's like, it only hurts us that we just feel like we won the Super Bowl.
Right. Exactly, dude. Well, let me ask you this. Where does the tournament take place?
I believe, dude, that's such... I mean, it obviously takes place... different parts of the country.
They don't all go to one. It's not like in Vegas where there's like 1 billion arenas for all the games that happen at once.
There's so many teams that play, obviously, like, you know, mm-hmm. 68 teams, that in like some of them they want to reward by like, you're the overall number one seed, so we're going to put you as close as possible to your home state, you know.
Gotcha.
And then if you're
you.
Bad, they're going to be like, we're going to send you anywhere.
Got you.
We are playing in Pittsburgh. We're going all the way to Pittsburgh for our region, which is not great,
wow.
but kind of like, who cares? Like, South Carolina will probably have an advantage there, but you know what? Arizona had an advantage. Let's fucking go, man. It was an amazing memory. Like, regardless of what happens, even if we lose against the Gamecocks, an amazing end to
You said, we just won the Super Bowl. Who cares? We did it.
House
that
money,
was
baby.
Like a yeah. That was a tough. It was a tough season that seemed. I don't know what it seemed like, but it didn't seem like a Pac-12 championship.
No. Yeah, it's amazing.
So I'm stoked.
It was so fun.
Everything's butter.
Everybody. You can go over to our Twitter account, at @QuackTwelvePodcast, or you can find us on the official ESPN.com/bracket tournament challenge.
That's right.
The ESPN tournament challenge. I'm mainly promoting the men's because that's the only one where we have a team that's actually playing, but we did make
and
a
that's
women's.
What matters.
And that's all that matters. On this podcast, because this is a podcast.
You got to get to
the
tournament.
Bros by the bro. No, I'm joking. But we did make
What's
one for the women's,
point?
Too. But
okay.
Whatever. You don't got to enter that one because no duck to pick in that.
Because we're
fight.
Not in it.
But for the men's tournament, look it up. I believe it's just, Quack 12 Tourney is what I have it under. Quack 12 Tourney. There's already plenty of people. We'll
have
a prize. We'll send you out. Be sure to contact us if you win, though. Otherwise,
I have a feeling I already know who's going to win it, too.
Yours truly.
Nope. but somebody not too far away from your exact vicinity.
My girlfriend? My girlfriend's going to repeat?
Maybe.
You think my... Or she's not... She got close. She was like second place. I think,
she got right? close. Yeah.
She won the women's, I think. I forget. Whatever.
Anyway.
Adam Fofatum is in there. I can tell you that because that's the name of my bracket. Quack12 Tourney. You can find that on our Twitter account, on our Facebook page. We'll link these. You got to join it. Aaron will have an entry, of course. I'm excited. I could not be more
Brother.
Excited. We got basketball this Thursday. It's crazy how quick it happens. In Dante, we trust. In Dana Altman, we
For
trust.
Now.
For now.
For sure.
Otherwise, we'll fire Altman. No. Yeah, brother. Any wise words to take us off?
Nope.